This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Later on the program, the matter of earthquake insurance. Do Arkansans need it? And where can you get it? Plus a preview of tomorrow night's Songs in the Ville at the UARC Ballroom, the next installment in our series highlighting undergraduate research at the University of Arkansas, and your final chance to score free tickets to tomorrow night's opening concert of the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas Walton Arts Center. We begin this edition with an update from the state legislature. Republicans in the Arkansas House say they may push to increase the governor's grocery tax cut in an effort to loosen up the current stalemate over tax cuts. House Minority Leader John Burris says some lawmakers think increasing the cut from half a cent to three quarters of a cent would be the best way to limit state spending. Burris says it's no secret that the House and Senate disagree on which taxes to cut.
The whole Senate's already voted out $50 million worth of tax cuts. They have said that we can afford these tax cuts, and so now the debate is, we can afford them. Is that the best tax cut to have? Is used car? Is the manufacturer sales tax? I'm just saying, if you're asking if there are some opinions out there that maybe we should just put it all on the grocery tax, the answer is most definitely yes.
Matt DeCampbell, spokesman for Governor Beebe, says the governor does not welcome the additional quarter cent tax cut.
The most immediate worry is that it could scuttle the bill and hurt its chances down the line, because you know the governor's been pretty clear about what he feels we can afford on grocery tax. That's part of what the Senate has passed, and the Senate, I think, has been speaking pretty strongly that they've passed what they feel they can pass.
The governor says the state can only afford his proposed cut of about $20 million this legislative session. Voters could be called on to approve a $500 million bond issue to get the state's unemployment benefits fund out of debt to the federal government under a bill heading to the Senate. Arkansas currently owes the federal government about $350 million for helping pay out its unemployment benefits. Senator Jeremy Hutchinson, the measure's author, would let Governor Beebe call a special election for the bonds.
It would be a tax savings to the employers. If we don't do anything, the federal government will impose a very onerous tax on our Arkansas employers. This would have to raise some tax, but it would be a lot less than what the federal government would do.
Senator Hutchinson says that if Republicans at the federal level succeed in forcing states to pay the money back, a special election could be held sometime around late summer. And the Arkansas Senate has chosen two proposed constitutional amendments to try to put before voters. A Senate panel pared eight measures down to just two. One would let localities create special districts to help fund retail developments. The other would take away the Highway Commission's independence from the legislature. Committee Chair Sue Madison says she was surprised the panel was able to narrow its selections down so far.
I thought we might end up with four or five and have to whittle down the list, and instead it went the other way. So I think we're being cautious about what we refer to voters, and I'm proud of that. I think that's very good that we know this is serious business.
One of the amendments, sponsored by State Senator Jeremy Hutchinson, would revoke the Highway Commission's constitutional independence. He had also included the state lottery in that measure, but at the last minute removed it.
I didn't have the votes with the lottery in, and the Highway Commission's been my primary target this entire, I hate to use the term target, but my primary focus this entire time, and so it to me was worth it to remove the lottery in order to be able to get the amendment passed.
Hutchinson says he disagrees with the way the Highway Commission divvies up road funding and wants the agency to know the legislature is watching closely. The House and Senate now have to confer on their respective measures, since the legislature can refer just three proposed constitutional amendments to voters. Earthquakes documented in central Arkansas shook the ground as far north as Eureka Springs and Fayetteville this month, causing some of us to think about homeowners insurance policies. But did you know all earthquake insurance is optional? And some companies don't even provide it. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has this report.
Last May, a set of very small earthquakes, which some say sounded like sonic booms, occurred in Benton County along the Bella Vista Fault near the Northwest Arkansas Regional Airport, and another along the Fayetteville Fault on Hobbs State Park. Some blame dirt mining in the region. Previously, USGS had installed a seismic station at Hobbs Park, so we're able to measure the events, the first ever such recorded quakes in Benton County, magnitude 2.6. Then on February 27th at 11 p.m. on a Sunday night, a 4.7 magnitude earthquake epicentered in Faulkner County in north central Arkansas shook the six-state region. Seismologists believe It, as well as a swarm of smaller quakes, nearly 1,000 of them, may be attributed to natural gas wastewater underground injection wells. That quake, which caused no injury and little damage, literally shook certain residents awake in their beds. It's also waking up Arkansans to the concept of earthquake insurance. Michael Alexander's vice president of Argenia LLC, a full-service managing brokerage for licensed insurance agents in Arkansas, Alabama, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Florida, Missouri, and Mississippi.
We've seen a large uptick in the purchase of earthquake insurance in Faulkner County and the surrounding area. Obviously, due to the last set of quakes, there's been a huge uptick.
Alexander says events here and globally are making people acutely aware of vulnerability.
Well, it's certainly alarming whenever the earth starts to shake. I think we've seen what Mother Nature is capable of all over the world in the past couple of years. I think the purchase of earthquake insurance kind of puts people at ease, certainly. But I think a lot of times we're not sure exactly where all the faults are. I think the U.S. Geological Society is finding new faults all the time.
Including the new Greenbrier Fault in Faulkner County mentioned earlier, which may be traced to subsurface disturbance by the natural gas industry. Seismologists are currently looking at the data. Many residents in northeast Arkansas carry earthquake insurance because they live on the New Madrid seismic zone. In the winter of 1811 and 12, a series of massive earthquakes centered at New Madrid, Missouri, shook Middle America. Scientists are concerned another major quake could occur. The dolomite geology anchoring the Ozarks Plateau in northwest Arkansas, however, has always been considered stable, a sort of safe haven. But recent earthquake events have homeowners discovering they might not be covered.
You know, it is specifically like flood. A lot of the times it has to be purchased separate of your homeowner's policy. We're hoping that all the agents in the state of Arkansas are advising the consumers that earthquake can be added to their policy, whether through their current homeowner's carrier or through a monoline earthquake policy that can be purchased.
Back in the 90s, fewer Arkansas insurance companies provided earthquake coverage, so a market assistance program, or MAP, was established to help consumers.
Back in 1999, the Arkansas Insurance Department, along with the governor at the time, wanted to make earthquake available to all consumers in the state of Arkansas, irregardless of market conditions. And they formed what's called MAP, and it's the Marketing Assistance Program, which makes available to every agent and every consumer in the state of Arkansas earthquake insurance on a monoline basis.
Coverage that can be purchased is a separate policy, and depending upon where you live in the state, and according to the earthquake hazard, the cost will vary.
Yes, ma'am. Your territory is usually working from in Arkansas from the eastern side on the delta along the New Madrid Fault to the western side, it gets cheaper. So your rate's going to be higher the closer you are to a major fault line.
The delta loam Alexander's referring to are the soft soils that will turn liquid if a major New Madrid earthquake occurs in northeast Arkansas, resulting in widespread damage.
You know, a lot of times, and again, this differs from insurance company to insurance company, but most of the time you're going to see a deductible on a percentage basis. So just to take, for instance, if you had a $100,000 home and a 10% deductible, your deductible would be $10,000. And a lot of the times you're seeing deductibles in the northeast part of Arkansas and the eastern part of Arkansas around 15 to 20% deductible. And conversely, on the western part of the state, as you get to central and west part of the state, deductibles around 10%. Now, some standard companies offer deductibles maybe in the 5% range that you can buy back that deductible. So I would certainly encourage the consumers to check with their agent and see the availability with their current homeowner's policy as to what they might be able to purchase.
And if your current agent does not provide earthquake insurance?
Well, going back to the MAP program that we just spoke about, it makes a monoline earthquake policy available to every agent in the state of Arkansas. So what that insured's able to do is go to their agent, advise them that they would like to have a monoline earthquake policy, and that agent would come through the MAP program and be able to purchase that coverage.
Do you personally have earthquake insurance?
I do. I have the endorsement on my policy through my local agent, and I'm in Little Rock.
When did you purchase that?
When I purchased the home. It's been 4 years.
And how much are you paying?
I want to say around $80 a year. One point I'd like to make is to all the consumers in the state of Arkansas can get a free quote to give them an idea of what earthquake will run in their area. They can visit the Arkansas Insurance Department's website, and if you'll go to the Earthquake Authority, it'll bring up the MAP program. And all you have to do is just enter a name and a zip code and the value that you want on the home, and it'll be able to give you a rough idea of what terms will cost for a monoline earthquake policy.
Michael Alexander says earthquake insurance helps to protect a family's largest investment.
I think what can get scary is in the event that we have a large quake and your home is deemed inhabitable, you certainly don't want to be stuck with a mortgage paying on a home that you can't live in.
It's up to homeowners to check for potential earthquake hazards in their county. The Arkansas Center for Earthquake Education and Technology Transfer can help. That's at quake.ualr.edu. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
For more information about the Market Assistance Program for Earthquake Insurance, you can look for the link at ozarksatlarge.com. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Saturday, 7 bands will each play for about an hour at Terra Studios east of Fayetteville. The event is called Angel Fest, and it will raise money for 7 nonprofits located in the area and associated with children's issues. Val Gonzalez is the coordinator for the event, and she lists some of the intended beneficiaries.
The Samaritan Center Snack Pack Program, which offers healthy snacks for kids that are identified at risk of hunger or food insecurity. Children's House, EOA Children's House, which is a year-round therapeutic child development place where kids can go that are in, usually they're in protective services. The Northwest Arkansas Children's Shelter, which is, of course, foster care.
Other groups that will receive proceeds include the Children's Safety Center and the Children's Advocacy Center of Benton County, both of whom, Val says, are services for victims of sexual abuse in their families, CASA, which provides court-appointed special advocates for children in the court system, and Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families. And in the interest of full disclosure, I will mention that last group on the list is the employer of my wife, Laura. This week, Val Gonzalez and Jamie Ulick, the owner of Terra Studios, came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to discuss Saturday's Angel Fest event. Jamie says the idea behind Angel Fest began percolating last year after another music festival held on the Terra Studio grounds.
Val and I were going home talking about how much fun we had and how we should, do another festival. But then we thought we really had to do some good with this one. A lot of people had said, oh, we should charge for music festivals. We do our fall one and our spring one free. But then we thought about, well, if we're going to charge money, what are we going to, we should do something good in our community. There's so much need. Val's been involved with the nonprofit community, and we're just, the more we become aware of the nonprofit community, the more we see how desperately in need they're becoming more and more every day. So we decided we were going to do a festival for one of the nonprofits, and we thought about it, and we started a list, and we came up with 5, and then we talked to
Ben McClintock,
and he came up with a couple more, and we said, okay, let's do it for all 7.
In conjunction with the festival, Jamie asked the resident glassblowers at Terra Studios to design a new product. The result, after some starts and stops, is a pair of angels called Grace and Gratitude. 10% of the proceeds from the sale of the angels, year-round, is split among the 7 agencies. The concept of new product to help nonprofits is not new at Terra Studios. Jamie says the business has donated more than $30,000 to Susan G. Komen for the Cure through sales of pink birds over the past 2 years. The birds are a spinoff of Terra's famous Blue Birds of Happiness.
Part of what we've also done is in the process of doing Angel Fest, we pretty much re-identified what Terra's about. And we basically feel like what our new vision statement is, using art to create a better world. Because, if we don't take what we do for a living and try to improve the quality of our community, try to improve the quality of everybody's lives, money's okay, but it's really not that important. What we do in the community is really important. And this is what we do. We do art at Terra, and we do a good job of it. It's a wonderful place. So if we can create events that are fun for people to do. We all need to do something to unwind once in a while. If we can look for things that are, you know, we can go and we can have fun doing something, and a bunch of people can get together and create an event that's really fun, and we can actually make money for organizations, we can help our community. You know, I think we all are going to need to get together and really focus on that in the upcoming years, because, you know, it's not a partisan issue. This is our community. This is what we need to come together over. We need to coalesce. Okay, people feel we need to make it local. Yeah, we need to make it local. We need to take care of our own community. We need to really do everything we can to whatever your business is. If, you know, if you're a plumber, if you're an electrician, you know, go on one of the auctions and, you know, put your services down. Whatever we can all do with whatever our skill levels are, you know, to make this a better world, to help the people in need, to help our community and the quality of our community, because we have an amazing community in Northwest Arkansas.
7 bands, 7 hours of music. You don't have to stay up late. And it's what, $10?
$10 is what we're asking at the door. If people can't afford it, you know, come anyway. Kids are free. You know, hopefully for people who can't afford it, they'll spend $50. You know, the idea is donate what you can, and let's have a wonderful event. Let's all have fun, and let's do good. So we're basically titling this one, Have Fun Doing Good.
Val Gonzalez says once the momentum behind Angel Fest began, it became easy to get participation and to ramp up the enthusiasm, especially, she says, because tighter economic times mean less financial help for social services.
Absolutely. You know, we just heard about the Snack Pack program. I'll just mention one, where the Snack Pack program was putting 12 treats in the Snack Pack for the weekend. And that's what they do. They give these kids that are at need snacks for the whole weekend
because they're eating
school lunch, and that's when they eat, a lot of them. So and they've had to reduce the number of snacks that go in the Snack Pack, which is just heartbreaking. So yeah, that's our way of doing our part.
Angel Fest will take place inside Terra Studios, located on Highway 16 east of Fayetteville in Durham. The music is scheduled to begin at 10 Saturday morning and last until 5 that afternoon.
The lineup is Slow Town Serenaders, East of Zion, Bonnie and Steve Turner, The Mudlarks, The Tin Pan Alley Cat, JoJo Moss, and The Hawkeye Ramblers. And it's really cool because it's, you know, it's one thing that our community is really good for, is the musicians really come out and really help a lot and do their part to help with benefits like this.
I haven't seen all of the artists that are on that list. One that you mentioned, which I think might perk some ears, especially the Mudlarks. Mudlarks don't play together that often. This is, you know, it's like once a year, twice a year you get a chance to see them.
It's pretty exciting. You know, I called up and asked if they'd do it, and they said, I heard a yes once, and then I checked with Anita, and she hadn't heard it all. So we went back and forth a little bit, and it worked out that they were able to do it, and we're really excited to be able to hear them. They're really good. And then all the music you'll be amazed with. It's a variety. When we do a benefit like this, we try to do a little jazz, a little rock and roll, a little Irish music, a little bit of everything, just so there's some music for everyone.
Jamie Ulick, the owner of Terra Studios, discussing this weekend's Angel Fest at Terra Studios. It begins Saturday morning at 10 and is scheduled to last until 5. For more information, you can go to terrastudios.com or the Terra Studios Facebook page. This is Ozarks at Large.
I dreamed that I was Queen of France and at a royal palace dance. I waltzed all night with the Prince of Timbuktu.
Singer Betty Johnson was born on this date in 1931. Betty got her start with the Johnson Family Singers, a gospel group which included her parents and 3 brothers. The Johnson Family Singers enjoyed success down south due to the group being broadcast daily on WBT Radio in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the CBS network. Despite several recordings for the RCA, Victor, and Columbia labels, as well as an appearance at the famed Grand Ole Opry, the Johnson Family Singers broke up in the 50s. Betty eventually relocated to New York City, where she appeared regularly on radio. She enjoyed her first hit in November of 1954 with I Want Eddie Fisher for Christmas, but it was I Dreamed, issued 2 years later, that would become her biggest hit. She appeared on programs hosted by Bob Newhart, Jack Benny, and Perry Como, as well as such TV shows as The Ed Sullivan Show, and was hired as a spokeswoman for Borden Dairy Products. A recording contract with Atlantic followed shortly thereafter, resulting in a pair of full-length albums, 1958's self-titled debut, and 1959's Songs You Heard When You Fell in Love, as she shifted her focus to pop standards. Upon marrying in 1964, Johnson retired from music as she raised two daughters and shied away from the spotlight. But almost 30 years later, in 1993, she returned to performing at a hotel in New York City. Johnson continued to perform into the 2000s, as her act drew from her early days as a member of the Johnson Family Singers, as well as her solo hits. The Mosaic Templars of America headquarters building in Little Rock was destroyed by fire 6 years ago on this date. Built between 1911 and 1913, it stood on the corner of Broadway and 9th Street in downtown Little Rock. The Mosaic Templars was established in 1875 as an African-American fraternal organization that provided insurance and other services to black citizens in an age of segregation. Following the fire, the Department of Arkansas Heritage and the Mosaic Templars Culture Center vowed to build a new structure on the historic site. The new cultural center, which opened on September 20, 2008, presents exhibits interpreting Arkansas's African-American history from 1870 to the present. The third floor auditorium resembles the original auditorium, including a horseshoe-shaped balcony and a stage with a proscenium opening. The Scarlet Letter by Nathaniel Hawthorne was published on this date in 1850. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
It's Wednesday, March 16th, 2011. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Becca Bacon-Martin. She is the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
And I know what I'm doing here. You know, Monday, Kyle couldn't remember why I was here. Or who I was, but I know both today. Today I'm going to tell you that poet Robbie Telfer is at RZ's Coffee House at the University in Fayetteville for a performance at 7 o'clock tonight. It's free, and there will be an open mic before and a poetry slam after.
All right.
Kenny Chesney is going to be through the area. This is our Arts Away moment.
Mm-hmm.
He will be at Verizon Arena in Little Rock on April 1st. At the BOK Center in Tulsa on April 2nd, and at Cowboy Stadium in Dallas on April 16th. You can find out more about that at KennyChesney.com. And also in the Arts Away portion of the program, Godsmack, who happens to be one of my favorite bands, will also be all around the area this spring. They'll be at the Black River Coliseum in Poplar Bluff, Missouri on April 30th. They'll be at Tom Lee Park as part of the Beale Street Music Festival in Memphis on May 1st, and I'll be there with them. And they'll be at the Midland Theater in Kansas City, Missouri on May 3rd. And you can find out more at godsmack.com/tour.
Thanks, Becca.
Thanks, Kyle.
Becca Bacon-Martin is the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Yesterday, our series on undergraduate research on the University of Arkansas campus began. For the next several days, some of the students at the university who received Student Undergraduate Research Fellowship Grants, or SURF grants, will be featured on the program. Today, we meet Brittany Rogers, a history major from Little Rock, and Andrea Arrington, assistant professor of history in the Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the U of A.
You took my Independence in Africa Today class first, right?
Sub-Saharan Africa.
Okay. So she's taken two classes from me. One, my history of Sub-Saharan Africa, and then the Independence in Africa Today class that's a little more specialized and focused, which is really kind of where her research interests lie.
Brittany is in the Honors College at the UA, and the SURF grant awards her money to further pursue her senior thesis idea, an idea, she admits, that didn't come easily.
It was kind of a back and forth between us, I think. I was having some difficulties.
She collaborated with Andrea Arrington, her faculty advisor. Arrington sent her an article about a town in southern Italy dealing with immigration issues.
In the Calabria region that is doing this really amazing program to actually help illegal immigrants and legal immigrants who are having difficulty settling in Italy. And I was like, that is awesome. I want to know more all about that. I want to know everything about that.
For centuries, the shared geography of the Mediterranean meant trade between Italy and Northern Africa. Brittany Rogers says as the world has moved toward globalization, racial tensions in Italy have been strained, and she wanted to find out why. The topic fit Brittany's schedule. She was to be in Italy last fall. While there, she took classes in modern Italian politics that dealt with immigration policies, and she was able to immerse herself in the subject while in Europe. Of course, immigration policy in Italy is not exactly water cooler discussion here.
But once you get started talking to people, it's really interesting to draw parallels between the immigration situation in America and the immigration situation in Italy and how they can actually be compared and how we can see some connections between them.
As Andrea Arrington points out, Brittany's work is a history honors thesis, so there has to be more than just discussion of contemporary issues.
So then we started thinking about World War II as a really important kind of cutoff and start date for a wave of immigration into Europe from Africa, especially because a lot of Africans served in different armies in World War II. So I found a couple of memoirs, and she read those, and she kind of liked the idea of looking more at Africans living in Europe, and then we went with the Italy immigration thing, and I think we found something she got excited about.
Brittany, who can speak French, is by necessity becoming more fluent in Italian. The senior thesis is very much her work, but as with many of the undergraduate students who receive SURF grants to further pursue their projects, faculty advice is welcome. Again, Andrea Arrington, assistant professor of history at the University of Arkansas.
If she runs into dead ends, my job, I think, is to help her turn those dead ends into new openings. But otherwise, she just kind of finds her thing, and she's found a lot of things. So she doesn't need too much pushing.
Brittany Rogers says she picked history as a major because she's always wanted to know how things came to be. She says her research so far has been somewhat like detective work, being able to connect event or person A with event or person B, bridges of information between facts, she calls them. And the defense of her thesis is scheduled for this summer.
Defense is a really intimidating term, basically. I mean, but that's what it is. Like, but I think it's important to, I think it's important for us to have a sense of research about something that you're passionate about. I think it's really beneficial for us to, for us honor students to have to get that well acquainted with something, because I mean, if you're into academia and that's where you want to go, you have to have that level of passion for your research eventually. So getting acquainted with that kind of passionate research, I think, is beneficial as early as possible.
The way you said honor student, you feel a responsibility with that term?
Yeah. I signed up to be an honor student. I knew what tasks and what benefits I would get from it. And so I feel like I went to the Honors College to do the best that I can.
Andrea Arrington says the research Brittany is doing, and the research other students like her are doing as well, is a fundamental practice not just for students' academic lives, but for their lives beyond college as well.
This is a soapbox of mine, is that students in the liberal arts are always like, oh, what am I going to do with my English degree? What am I going to do with my history degree? Or people say that to them. And we're not proposing that they go out and practice English or practice history. We're proposing that they use those skills in the real world. And, you know, Brittany spent 5 months in Italy, not just doing research, not just taking classes, but traveling all over Europe and traveling all over Italy and learning about, you know, using those skills that she's learning in the classroom to start connecting different stories and different ideas and formulating her own. And, you know, if a student leaves our program, whether it's the Honors College, the history program, the English department, sociology, being able to do that, then we've done what we really wanted to do. In my classes, I don't drill a lot of dates into people's heads. That I'm not interested in them regurgitating dates to me. I'm interested in them telling me what they think.
We'll continue our series on undergraduate SURF grant recipients at the University of Arkansas tomorrow with a profile of an art student creating part of his thesis in his very own living room.
If you try and explore something through art, you know, over a matter of time in creating that artwork, you will eventually come to a point where you understand everything, but everything that's connected to that thing too.
We'll hear from Luke Knox, senior Honors College art student, and art professor Kristen Musnug on tomorrow's edition of Ozarks at Large as our series continues. Tomorrow night, four singer-songwriters with deep Arkansas ties will share the stage at this month's Songs in the Ville performance held at the UARC Ballroom. The Singers in the Round format will allow Charlie Sandage from Mountain View, Charlie Crow from Little Rock, Keith Vire from Fayetteville, and host Efren White to gather together to play songs and talk about their inspirations. Earlier this month, Keith and Efren came to our studio, and we placed a call to the two Charlies. I assume that the four of you have met before and all know each other?
No, all of us haven't met before.
Oh, so this is kind of, for somebody then, it's an introduction.
That would be for me.
It is indeed.
I haven't met Keith.
That's right. I haven't met Charlie or Charlie.
Charlie Crow, Charlie Sandage, Keith Vire. Keith Vire, the Charlies.
Hey, guys. Good to meet you.
All four men will bring their guitars to the stage tomorrow night, beginning at 7:30. Our conversation this month covered the art of songwriting, the confidence earned from critical praise, and how songs can sometimes just develop from an unknown source. Charlie Crow has been writing music for the past 30 years, music from rockabilly to folk to country.
Yeah, rockabilly and introspective romantic songs, you know, things that that you struggle with to try to express an idea, or you have a particular I thought about a word or a phrase or a concept or an emotion, or more of an emotion than anything else.
Your parents owned a newspaper?
Yes.
I would think...
I grew up in the weekly newspaper business.
Okay. I would think, and again, I don't know, but I would think that being in a weekly newspaper business, that would help with inspiration for ideas of songs and stories to tell. Am I correct in that assumption?
Well, from the standpoint that you meet a lot of really interesting people, and you are, you also, if you are part of the reporting side, and I got involved in every piece of it, because in small town newspapers, you learn how to do everything, but if you're on the reporting side, you also have to learn how to respond to a deadline, you have to learn how to think in whole paragraphs. And I never really thought of it until you asked the question, but the ability to try to know where you want to end up while you're writing is very helpful in songwriting.
He's running through the airport, cell phone in his hand. Got to call his honey before he's gone again. Hasty conversation, and then he's got to fly. He hangs up the phone with love you bye. Love you bye, love you bye. A simple expression to say in case you die. Whisper it or mumble it, but don't forget to try. Remember to say love you bye.
Keith Vire, who's in the studio with me, said that he can remember the first time you heard a Kris Kristofferson song, and you say that was a spark that lit the songwriting bug with you?
Absolutely. I honestly can remember, I'm from Clarksville, Arkansas, and you know, we did a lot of driving up and down the street trying to pick up girls, although we never really were successful at that, but I remember exactly where we were on Main Street in Clarksville when I first heard Me and Bobby McGee, and as I said, it was by Roger Miller at that time, not a recording by Chris, and I just remember being like just sort of so captured by the fact that every line was a picture, and if you could, I just thought to myself, man, if you could write that way, so that when you have a line, people see a picture in their head. I just thought that was so amazing, and that really got me started writing.
And Charlie Sandage, I have read a bio that I believe you wrote about yourself, where you said you have explored strange chord progressions during your career.
that was back in what we call the folky era. And
he's an old folky.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, indeed. Somehow or another, we all felt obligated to write, let's say, opaque lyrics
and just see how strange our chord progression might be, because that was what everybody was doing. But you know, you get over that. At some point, you start to pick up on the idea that simple is good, and that the very best stuff is probably the most straightforward, both lyrically and musically.
Wouldn't it be a shame if you walked out on me tonight and my ship came in the morning? After all these years of poverty, it just would not be right. So I'm giving you this warning. My signs are all in line, my biorhythm's up. Next week looks as pretty as a little speckled pup. Wouldn't it be a shame if you walked out on me tonight and my ship came in the morning?
One song that you might expect to play on the 17th, and why? Keith, I'm going to start with you.
Okay, well, ever since Efren asked me to do this, I've been really trying to figure that question out, exactly which songs am I going to play. But I think that I will play Bribing the Muse, which is a song that I wrote. The week that I heard, people think this is weird, but the week that I heard Tennessee Williams had died, I wrote this song called Bribing the Muse. And it's really not about Tennessee Williams. It's about what you feel when some icon of your youth is gone. Mm-hmm. And it's really about self-pity. You know, you start drink a little beer, and you feel this loss that really is about your own life sort of fading out, you know. But Tennessee Williams' death was the reason that I wrote it, and I really like that tune, and I think I'll play that one.
I heard about Tennessee on the radio. They say he died, you know. Oh, but it can't be so. Just one more hero from my squandered youth, my drunken search for truth, just a dreamer bound to lose. And I can't say why I'm so sad tonight. Just one more too short life. It happens all the time. So I'm just drinking to my years misspent, romantic innocence, just wondering where they went. And it's just sorrow on the rocks till I can't taste the blues. Whatever pain I feel for me, not you. Go on, drink what you need and leave what you can't use. It'll bribe the muse.
Efren?
Well, I've had a pretty good writing spurt here within the last couple of months, so I'm going to play a couple of new tunes, probably. One is called Time Hardened Truth, and it's about a traveling troubadour. A singer-songwriter that travels the roads and plays for various audiences. And he wonders near the end of the song about all the time he spent out there doing this and the people that he's taken his time from to do it, but the thrill he gets out of it has made his life very worthwhile, even though he has a few guilty feelings.
I smell autobiography.
I was going to ask.
And wishes, and he wishes maybe he could have been a carpenter or something.
So. I would just I have this reaction when you quote the title, Time-Hardened Truths. There's a line, there's a hook, there's a title. All you would have had to do is tell me you're going to do a song with that title, I would drive over to Fayetteville to hear it.
I'm with you. That's a great song.
Okay, I'm doing it then.
Keith Vyer, Charlie Crow, and Charlie Sandage will join regular host Efren White for the latest edition of Songs in the Ville tomorrow night, beginning at 7:30 in the York Ballroom on Dixon Street in Fayetteville. You can learn much more at Songs in the Ville's Facebook page or MySpace page. And this note, Efren White's song Long Haul has just taken first place in the 2011 Billboard Song Contest in the Americana Folk Division. And you can hear much more from all four songwriters from our conversation at our webpage, OzarksAtLarge.com.
Michelle Bachmann misfires on the shot heard round the world. Tim Kaine will probably run for the Senate in Virginia. Dean Keller says he's definitely in Nevada. And Wisconsin Democrats and Republicans target each other for recall. I'm Neil Conan. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins us on The Week in Politics. And, of course, a trivia question. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation this afternoon from 1 until 3, right after Ozarks at Large on KUAF. It's hard to know for sure what happened 93 years ago with a legendary home run by baseball great Babe Ruth when he was playing for the Boston Red Sox during a spring training game at Whittington Park in Hot Springs. It is hoped, though, that newly released surveying data using historical records and existing landmarks will show that the ball traveled an astonishing distance. Bill Jenkinson, a consultant for the Baseball Hall of Fame, traveled to Hot Springs for this week's announcement.
We know that it was well over 500 feet, and when you consider the fact that no one had ever hit a ball even close to 500 feet in the air, any time that someone hits a new standard, and that certainly happened that day, St. Patrick's Day, 1918, then you've got a big story that was really the start of Babe Ruth moving from his original position as a star pitcher into the outfield, and then, of course, he went on to become an American icon, someone noted for great power and slugging.
Jenkinson is considered one of the leading experts on Babe Ruth and says he's excited to find out just what the new information can tell us.
No one had ever invested the resources before to quantify this scientifically. So I'll tell you, I've mused over the distance for decades myself now, never knowing that someone would take enough interest as the people in Hot Springs have to actually get a handle on this. So I was just ecstatic about it because this is something that I wouldn't have been able to do on my own.
The home run changed Babe Ruth's career as well as the sport of baseball. The ball, by the way, landed in Gator Pond, and Jenkinson says it could be the longest home run that Babe Ruth ever hit. And so we'll include Babe Ruth in our trivia question today for the last pair of free tickets we have to give away to tomorrow night's concert for the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas. This is the first concert for Sona. Works will be performed by Penman, Mendelssohn, and Brahms. Perhaps a surprise or two expected as well. The concert is tomorrow night, beginning at 7, in Baumwalker Hall at Walton Arts Center. And in honor of that Babe Ruth home run 93 years ago, today's trivia question, fairly simple. What number did Babe Ruth wear when he was with the New York Yankees? Was it number 1, number 2, or number 3? Again, what number did Babe Ruth wear when he played for the Bronx Bombers? 1, 2, or 3? If you know the answer or just want to take that 1 in 3 chance to win the tickets to the Sona opening concert, you can call right now 1-800-522-5823. Again, that's our toll-free number, 800-522-5823. Good luck. This is Ozarks at Large. The answer to our question, by the way, what number did Babe Ruth wear when he played for the New York Yankees? He wore number 3. He hit right in front of Lou Gehrig, who wore number 4. The Yankees were the team that pioneered, or at least the Major League team that pioneered jersey numbers. Ruth hit 3rd in the order, so he wore number 3. Gehrig hit 4th, so he won number 4. By the way, congratulations to our winner of yesterday's trivia question, Barry Bennett of Fayetteville. He knew that the Caesar salad was developed in San Diego. Another question and another chance for you to win tickets to a local event tomorrow on Ozarks at Large. Local support for Ozarks at Large comes from Northwest Arkansas Business Journal, offering a daily e-newsletter featuring late-breaking business news for Northwest Arkansas and the entire state. Registration and information available at nwabusinessjournal.com. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Kingston, a listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. KUAF has proudly served as your source for NPR programming for the past 26 years. You can listen online at our website, KUAF.com. And don't forget, for around-the-clock classical music, KUAF 2, and for much more news and information, including the BBC and the Diane Rehm Show, programs you can't hear on 91.3 FM, you can go to KUAF 3. You can listen to either station for free on your HD radio or on the new pop-up mechanism we have at KUAF.com or through phone applications on either your Android or iPhone. All of the information available at our website, KUAF.com. Some last-minute notes for you. University of Arkansas faculty will provide insights into the ongoing unrest in the Middle East this afternoon, beginning at 4:30 in the Arkansas Union Theater on the U of A campus. The Middle East and Revolution, an update, is co-sponsored by the King Fahd Center for Middle East and Islamic Studies and the Sam Walton College of Business. The event this afternoon, free and open to the public. And until 4:30 today in Lot 46 on Razorback Road in Fayetteville, there is an ESCO processing and recycling event co-sponsored by the University of Arkansas. It's an electronic recycling event. There is a $5 charge required for monitors and TVs to be taken in. All other electronic items, however, will be accepted for free. That lasts until 4:30 this afternoon in Lot 46 on Razorback Road. For more information, 575-3591. And this other reminder, Hobbs State Park Conservation Area in Benton County has scheduled a prescribed burn for over 12,000 acres today in southeastern Benton County. Chances are, if you're affected by that, you already know this. The War Eagle Loop of the Hidden Diversity Multi-Use Trail will be closed throughout the day, and motorists are reminded to use caution throughout that area today. For more information about the burn, 789-5000. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. Thanks so much for tuning in. A brand new edition of Ozarks at Large tomorrow at noon on KUAF 91.3 FM. Thanks for listening. Have a great Wednesday.